This is Commission Radio.
What do I do?
It's getting harder every day to try to make a living, cause the enemy has got us all walking in division. So we lying and we stealing, we robbing and we killing each other, and got the nerve to say that we sisters and brothers. Y'all, it never used to be like that back in the days. I guess it just reverts to the fact of how we were raised. But take a look around you, look at the scenario, see what's on your television and on your stereo. Every record I'm hearing is either talking about killing somebody or Maseratis and women shaking their bodies, or how they can make it rain with money and champagne. Airplanes and helicopters are slinging some cane. I'm just getting started with the subject, ain't finished yet. Look what Satan's doing to our children with this internet. Underage babies having babies cause they having sex. We should be victorious. How we got the victory with family members dabbling in witchcraft and wickery, crystal meth and ice, ecstasy and heroin. Unless we turn to Jesus, this is one battle we'll never win. Leaders in the church teaching the youth that it's okay to touch. Now I understand why my mama be praying so much. People in the closet are getting bold and they coming out. Yo, we better get on the ball, cause time's running out.
What do you do with this confrontation? What do you do with this confrontation? With this confrontation.
Now, as we look at the condition of this world, it should remind us of all the things that Satan tries to do just to blind us. Teenagers looking for love, but all they finding is pain. So they go out in the street and get involved with the gang. Parents are going through changes and they losing their mind. We're in the last days and this is a sign of the times. Mothers fighting their daughters, fathers fighting their sons, in order to keep them from the streets and the drugs and the guns. People committing suicide because they tired of their life. Nobody told them about the Christ that had died for their life. Ashes turning to ashes and it's dust to dust. Verily, verily, revelation is coming to us. Leaders in ministry fornicating and walking in lust. Members are leaving the church cause they don't know who to trust. Kids watching cable television and it's tragic. Cartoon characters teaching them black magic, showing them how to call up spirits and cast spells, and they don't have a clue that they're so headed to hell. The clock's winding down, people, we need to pray. We're seeing more corruption and destruction every day. The harvest is plentiful, but there's only a few willing to do what Jesus has put us down here to do. See, life is just a death walk when you walk for the Lord, and the battle's only won by just being on one accord.
What do you do with this confrontation? What do you do with this confrontation? With this confrontation? With this confrontation? What do you do with this confrontation? What do you do?
Oh,
Commission Radio on Blog Talk Radio. I'm LaCora Bowen. This is a talk show about where the Christian church is today in terms of relevancy, effectiveness, its apostolic prophetic future, the emerging prophetic apostolic reformation, the missteps of the church, and its brightest moments. We will interview marketplace ministers, traditional ministers, and others, as well as teach the Word of God during this final dispensation. It is time out for a weak, listless, and if we don't watch out, a lifeless church. So let's stand up, pray up, and go up. I apologize for your having to hear that entire song before we get into the actual message today, but I'm not at a computer system. I'm on my cell phone doing this today, so I cannot have control over the music. But what we're going to talk about today is those who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I know that sounds like a negative subject, and in churches today, we all only want to talk about positive things, but this is very positive if you know some of the areas that you need to pray and let the Holy Spirit work you through so that you can be ensured of your place in heaven. So that's what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about unrepentant sins in specific areas that will in some ways lead us not to be in the marriage, at the marriage conference, if you will, with Jesus and the bride. Now in Revelation 21, 22, 27, that's where we want to start. So if you'll go there with me, I would certainly appreciate that. And it starts at here in 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in his light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall be not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But in verse 27, it says, but there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those who are written in the book of life. There shall not be anything that defiles it, causes an abomination or a lie, but only those things, or only those, rather, who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So let's talk about that for a moment. And when it talks about an abomination, especially in Joel 3:17, God says, then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. No one who is not born again shall pass through Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem, we talked about last week how the new Jerusalem is actually the bride of Christ. And we as Christians are the linen that is used throughout new Jerusalem. We are the linen. We are the linen, but we're not the bride. And that was a revelation that it is not something that will keep you out of heaven, but it's certainly something when you're dealing with trying to explain and defend our faith to those sometimes who know our Bible more better than we do. We just don't want to be caught off guard and argue that in vain from the standpoint of us being the bride. I don't care whether I'm the linen, the bride, or whatever. I just want to be near Jesus. Amen? So the meaning of abomination in Acts 10:28 and 1 Peter 4:3, 4 and 3 is something unlawful. It is unlawful. And this unlawfulness is in the context of meaning that it is contrary to what is right according to divine law, not natural law, because we know natural law is getting ready to approve something, has already approved something in a number of states that is against divine law. And I'm not picking on homosexuals because we're going to talk about a lot of sexual sins today. And I want them to know that, you know, I am not coming against them. I pray for you. You're in the same position as a lot of other people who are trying to walk out this life, doing it with knowledge. But there is one knowledge that is above all, and there's one law above all, and it is divine knowledge, and it is divine law. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But I'm not going to leave the other people out, so you know you won't feel alone. Now, Titus 1:16 says they possess, or they profess rather, to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now, abominable means to be abhorred. It means an object of disgust, as the images of the Antichrist in Matthew 24:15 and Mark 13:14. Now, in Luke 16:15, we see Jesus saying to them this: you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now, the thing that came up in my heart when I was looking at this, to be honest with you, was how we in the world esteem, how we look at churches, for instance. And I'm not just saying this because I don't currently have a church, and when I had one, I had about, 20, 30 people. I'm not just saying it for that, but it came up in my heart. The thing, and this is it, in the world, men esteem the size of a ministry and somehow infer from that that God esteems it as well. He does so when that ministry lines up with the word of God, and specifically the word of God, because Jesus is the word of God, but specifically those words that Jesus taught while he was here, okay? However, the inference from it is that if you have a small ministry, that you are not esteemed by God. Let me ask you this. How large was the church that Jesus ministered to? How large was that church? Now, he evangelized to thousands, but there were only 12 that you could really say that he was the pastor, the apostle, the, 12, right? And I think that that 12 was the precursor of the church. Now, the church, once Jesus went in, the church of Acts, after Jesus went to heaven. Now, that was a large church, but even in that, it was broken down in divisions and so forth and so on, so that people could fit into a house. That was a house-type size church, right? It's not to say that if you have a large church that God does not esteem it, but it is equally correct to say that if you have a small church, you cannot say that God does not esteem it. Okay, the issue is, how are you handling those that God has given you charge over? Are you doing it well? Now, some are so well respected here on earth that they're receiving all of their reward on earth. They're receiving a great part of their reward on earth. If you're not receiving any rewards on earth, and you're doing and you're handling the mission that God gave you well, you will be well received in heaven, and your rewards will be great in heaven. All right? What is unlawful? Let's deal with that for a little bit. What is unlawful? And let me do a time check here. I have to keep up with my time because I let it get away from me all the time. But unlawful, in Deuteronomy 7:25, are graven images of other gods. That's unlawful. Deuteronomy 12:31, burning sons and daughters in the fire to worship other gods. This is into abortion today, because in the abortion process, part of that is burning. And if you had an abortion, this is not to condemn you. That is a sin like others. It is a sin of murder, though, and we need to repent of that sin, just like we need to repent of any other sin that has been conducted. Lying, repent of it, because no liar is getting into heaven either. So we just need to repent of it. Don't condemn yourself to death. Don't let anybody else condemn you to death. Repent of it and live in the blood of Jesus, because Jesus died for that sin, oh man. And go and sin no more. I don't care if you're the deaconess in the church. If you failed, you got weak or whatever, and you ended up being pregnant, Mark, go talk to your pastor. Go before the church if it's required and repent. But you have that child, amen? Now, if you're a pastor, female pastor, and that happens to you, don't dare let the embarrassment of that situation put you in a position that you do something that you now have knowledge of that is wrong, because the blood of Jesus, it's a question as to whether when you know better and you do it to that extent, whether the blood covers. But I believe God will forgive you, but I don't want to put you in that position. You shouldn't be in that position. Just repent and go on. Live your life. Go on. Deuteronomy 17:1, giving God that which is not perfect, like a blemished sheep, instead of your best. You know, giving God something that is blemished, that is not your best. I'm sure that we can think of situations where that might be used in a modern-day context. Deuteronomy 18:10-12 says, do not sacrifice your children by passing them through fire. Again, that's Molech. Molech was this big old statue. They would heat this thing up so hot. It had a body of the bottom of it was human-like, and the top of it was some type of animal of some sort. His hands and arms are outstretched, and they would go and put their infant babies in the hands of this idol, and the baby would actually be burned. Can you imagine the pain that child endured for this pagan god? Also, it's talking about divination. It's talking about augur, which is a group of ancient Roman officials who observed and interpreted omens, sorcerers, mediums, wizards, charmers, horoscopes, prediction, in case y'all look at Gene Dixon and all that stuff, that too. Necromancy, or someone who speaks with the dead. If you can't speak with the dead, if you work for a funeral home, because I heard about someone doing this, I think they actually arrested someone who was actually having sex with some of the corpses. Now, I believe by the spirit, having sex with the dead is in the same situation here as fornication. It may be adultery if you're married, rape. It may be in addition to fornication and rape, okay? But anyway, Deuteronomy 23:18, you shall not bring the hire of a harlot or the price of a dog, a sodomite, into the house of the Lord your God as payment of a vow, for both of these are an abomination. Now, if you cannot have a harlot or a sodomite make a vow in the church, now how are y'all going to have some of them preaching? A known whore, that's somebody who practices whoredom, a prostitute, a woman who gets paid for having sex, or a man, a sodomite, a male prostitute having sex. So how are you going to have them ministering and doing whatever in the church if they can't make a vow in the church? I mean, I'm just asking. I mean, does it make sense to you? If the gift, like I said, if the gift, I mean, they can repent and be, you know, and go on. But repent means that you change your mind, you change your heart, and you change your direction. You can't try to go get that legal so that you can do it on earth and say that you're repentant. That is impossible. Now, Deuteronomy 24:16 says, those who oppress, who are poor and needy. And some of y'all in the ministry do that. You know, we need to start talking about living wages in the ministry if you can afford it. If you can afford 10 jets or 3-4 jets and all these luxury cars and several luxury homes, then you can afford to pay people a reasonable living wage in your ministry. You can afford to do that. Amen? A father not being put to death for his children, or children not being put to death for the sins of the father. Perverting justice due to a stranger or the fatherless. Perverting justice. A widow's garment, taking a widow's garment as a pledge. Coveting the silver and gold from the graven images burned. Do not take any type of abomination in your home, because if you do, it makes your home abominable. Now, Revelation 21, 7 through 8 says this. Let's go there real quick. Let me see what my time is. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Revelation 21 says this. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly are those who do not acknowledge Jesus before men, and those who do not stand up for godly principles. Has God not said that sodomy is an abomination? Right? Then how do you now see it as a civil right? Some of y'all ministers have been talking about homosexuality is a civil right. I don't know how you got to that point. I know Dr. Martin Luther King is rolling over in his grave if he could to hear that he died for as a minister for somebody else to be a sodomite. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." That's what we need to do. Some of y'all are afraid that your members going to leave your church if you stand fast, brave, and strong. I sort of believe that if people start and you start preaching the word of God as God would have it preached during the end time as it is now, that if those people leave, you need to say, bless them on the way out so that God can bring those in who need to be there. Amen? Now, I've said that about that, so that homosexuals don't think that I'm picking on them. Is it because do we not stand strong on those issues? Is it because you engage in oral sex that you don't want to come out against this issue? Or is it a masturbation that has somehow enslaved you to the point that you don't feel that it is necessary to speak on purity when it comes to sexual issues? Are you fornicating as a minister or someone who is an official in the church that you don't feel comfortable now addressing this with the congregation of the church? Or what about adultery, okay? Are you engaged in some type of pedophilia act that you can't deal with purity in the church anymore? Amen? So now, I quite frankly have spoken to people who are in position in the church, who confess salvation, who have more sex than I did when I was unsaved. Now, I can't say I haven't stumbled, but just because you date don't mean you have to have sex. I heard some say that oral sex is all right unless you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you. But then they'll argue that Adam and Steve can't have kids as a reason homosexuality is wrong. Then show me where oral sex can lead to you having kids. How do you use the same instrument to bless God to do something that is abominable that he did not create your mouth to do? I know y'all got quiet on me now. I'm sorry. Okay? But go with me now to Galatians. And by the way, fornication is having sex outside of marriage. For those of you who don't know what it is, I know somebody said they didn't know what fornication is. Fornication is also having pedophilia sex. It is homosexual sex. I don't care if they got married. It is still homosexual, and it is fornication. It can be someone who is married having sex with you, who's single, that's fornication for you. It can be two people who have been married, who now divorced and thought that they need to help each other out, and they go back and have sex. That's really an abomination to God, okay? And there's some others. I just can't think of them right now. Bestiality, we need not cover that. Bestiality is all on another level. Bestiality is abominable because you're crossbreeding species, and God destroyed the whole human race with the exception of Noah and his family as a result of that type of stuff, carnality. But it also is fornication. And if you married doing it, it's adultery as well. I mean, it just goes through a lot of different specters. So, you know, we'll have to teach on that all together. But go with me to Galatians 5:16-22. And I'm praying I have enough time. Let me look again. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm getting very close. 6 minutes, okay? Galatians 5:16-22. It says this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. You know, that's all that other stuff I was talking about, bestiality and, debation, all that stuff goes under uncleanness. Amen. Now, where was I? Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, evil, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, and envying one another, excuse me. Amen. Praise God. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Thank you, Lord. It says here, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, we just talked about, nor idolaters. You can be an idolater or of some god, but you can also make people gods. You can make your pastor god. You can make my man a god, my woman a god, my apostle, my prophet, my blah, blah, blah. If you say anybody else's name, my husband, or anybody else's name more than you say God, you need to do an idol check. Amen? Nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. See, homosexuals, nor sodomites, which are male prostitutes, but and I guess you can be female prostitutes now because, you know, women homosexuals. I need to check on that. But anyway, you're not going to get to heaven. You can get your laws changed on earth, but you're not going to get to heaven. Nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You see that, right? 6:19-20. Let's see, where are we? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body, which in your spirits, which are God's. I don't have time to finish, so I just want to say, if you're out there, just repent. These are not unto death, okay? Just repent while there's still time. Revelation 22:12-16 says this, and this is Jesus, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then in 16 he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him here say, come. And let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If you're out there and you don't know Jesus, all the things that you need to know is that at the beginning, God created everything perfectly. But Adam, the first man, sinned in the Garden of Eden and cast every child born into this world after that into a life of sin and death. But Jesus came, who was called a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he died on a cross so that you and I could live again. All we have to do is to confess our sins. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you confess your sins today, you're going to be in right standing with God. So wherever you are, raise your hands and say this with me. Father, I confess all of my sins to you, Jesus. My sins of omission, my sins of commission, my sins of thoughts, my sins of deeds. Now, according to your word in Romans 10:9-10, that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So I now declare boldly that I am clean and in right standing before you. And I believe in my heart that you, God, raised Jesus up from the dead. Now, thank you, Lord, for coming into my life and saving me. Thank you. And if you are out there and you need to repent of some of those sins, just say the same prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you said if I confess my sins before you, that you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And name the sins. If you committed, if you had an abortion, say, Father, I confess before you murder, Lord. Don't go to God half-step, and he already knows. I know it hurts to say that, but just say it. Call it what it is. If you are homosexual, say that I have been a practicing homosexual, Lord, but I repent of that. I know that you have a higher estate for me. If you've been engaged in any type of fornication, sex outside of marriage, repent of it. If you've been an adulterer, repent of it today. Get yourself clean from all sexual sins today, whatever it is. If you've been a prostitute, repent of it. If you've been a sodomite, a male prostitute, repent of it today. Repent of all of that. And then whatever your sin is, repent of it before it, because his blood is sufficient. But it does not cover any unrepentant sin. So go to him honestly. Don't try to explain it. You know, my daddy did this. My daddy molested me, so now I'm doing. No. He already knows that, but all he's concerned about with your repentance is what you have done. So repent of it. Get rid of it today. And he'll wash you and he'll make you clean. And he'll give you a new life, a new standing in him, so that one day he can look at you when the book of life, the Lamb's book of life is open, and he can say to you, God can say to you, my good and faithful servant, well done. And you can stand on the right side of the Lord. Thank you. This has been Commission Radio. I'm LaCora Bowen. And if you would like to support this ministry, you can do so by going to the PayPal site and put in commissioned radio at AOL.com. It's C-O-M-M. I'm sorry, I have it on another account. It's under C-O-M-M-I-S-S-I-O-N-E-D. M as in Mary, K as in K-T-G. At AOL.com. That's C-O-M-M-I-S-S-I-O-N-E-D M-K-T-G at AOL.com. And also send me an email and let me know that you made that contribution so that I can send you out a thank you. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you the next time. And remember this, God loves you. He has an eternal love for you. Even when we're in the rank of sin, God still loves us. Jesus has already died for that sin. The only condition is that you have to confess it so that his blood can cover it, okay? So be quick to confess whatever sin that you're in and get to a point where you can be truly repentant, which means that you change your heart, you change your mind, you change your direction. It is your heart's desire not to do that again. Now, you may, out of press of the flesh, do it, but scream out, God, I'm sorry, until that sin no longer has dominion and control over you. Amen? So God bless each and every one of you, and I'll see you the next time. I love you in Christ. Amen.